She poured me some iced tea and then one for the bear. It's not something a girl forgets. Actually, I think it was me that took advantage of him.
That does not surprise me. He has always been a bit slow.
That's what I liked about him. She sipped her own tea, settling back in the tufted leather sofa while taking off her boots and stuffing her feet underneath her. Kids? I drifted toward a wall of family photos, a lot of them of a handsome young man riding and roping. One daughter who works for the Attorney General down in Cheyenne, and a granddaughter who toys with my heart on a regular basis.
Oh, my.
I tapped one of the photos. Harley, your only child? Yes, God help the world if I'd had twins. She turned to Henry. What about you, tall, dark, and handsome?
He shrugged. Still looking for Miss Wright.
You mean Miss Wright now? I moved back over to the conversation island in hopes of conversing. So Harley's not dating Jaya anymore?
I don't think so, but I try not to be too interested in his private life. I mean, he's 18 years old and should have the right to date anybody he wants.
There are some things a mother is better not knowing.
I sat on a tufted leather ottoman and sipped my tea.
Do you know of any threats to Jaya that Harley might have mentioned?
There was the predictable stuff from both sides. She glanced at Henry. Natives angry that she was dating Harley, whites that were angry he was dating Jaya, the usual stuff.
Other students?
She glanced out the big picture windows that faced west. Pretty much.
Nothing you would consider a real threat?
Well, when it's your child, you think it's all threatening.
Why do you think they broke up?
She turned back to me. It was just too much pressure. They're both great kids, but with all the things you're dealing with at that age, I think the added burden of other people's racism was too much. There was some noise emanating from the dining room and kitchen toward the back of the house, with some banging and cursing. Connie stood and moved in that direction, and was met by an older man, diminutive in height and whippet thin. He was in socked feet with mud-covered jeans and shirt, a once very nice silver-belly hat perched on one side of his head, sweat-stained and mud-coated.
"Well, that took half the damn day,"
Connie pointed at him. "Don't you dare come off that kitchen tile with all that mud on you.
Well, what the hell am I supposed to do, go outside and shake off like a damn dog?
There's a robe in the mudroom, along with a pair of slippers. Where's Harley?" The man turned and started back through the kitchen.
"Down at the tack shed showering off. He's even worse than me."
She followed him. "Well, he needs to get up here. There are some people who want to talk to him."
"What people?"
"The sheriff and his friend."
"Gordo?"
I could hear him coming back.
"Talk about what?"
"Go change your clothes, Digger."
The conversation was closer now, probably in the kitchen, and I felt like I should turn and meet the man, but then thought I should let them finish their talk.
"The hell I will. Rosebud County? No, from down in Wyoming." "What the hell is he doing here?"
There was a pause.
"He's a friend." "Talk to Harley about what?"
"Jaya."
"Oh, horse shit. Digger."
There was a longer pause.
"Fine. I'll be right out."
She returned and took the pitcher from a tray on the coffee table and freshened our glasses. "He's a little grumpy. He bought the four-wheeler for Harley so that he could get to the cows faster than with a horse, but so far all he's succeeded in doing is getting it stuck." The man reappeared in a bathrobe. He was wearing his hat from which he had scraped most of the mud.
"Digger Wainwright."
We shook, and I noticed he glanced at the Cheyenne Nation, but didn't attempt to shake his hand. My friend and associate, Henry Standing Bear. He gave a wave as the bear sat looking at him and then seated himself next to his wife.
"How can I help you, gentlemen?"
"I understand your son used to date Jaya Long. She's been receiving threats, and I was hoping to speak with your son about it."
He made a face.
"He's not threatening that girl, and he's not dating her anymore either."
I wasn't interested in Harley as a suspect, but rather as a source of information as to who might be threatening Jaya.
"She's a headstrong young woman, and she rubs a lot of people the wrong way."
"Yourself included?" He leaned back in the sofa and glanced first at his wife and then me, finally snatching off his hat and tossing it beside him.
"So now I'm a suspect?"
"I don't think I'm far enough along the investigation to have any suspects, Mr. Wainwright. I'm just trying to get an idea of why someone would go to such lengths to intimidate or upset this young woman."
"So why isn't the FBI, the sheriff of Rosebud, Custer or Powder River or any other damn county in Montana come in here to ask me these questions?"
"I'm kind of under a retainer with the tribal police."
He barked a laugh. The tribal police. You mean those yahoos who run around here with their notebooks and pencils playing cop on the res?
Mr. Wainwright.
Look, that girl's father is a convict. Her mother is a drunk, and most of her damn family's been killed in some fashion or another, including a sister that simply vanished off the face of the earth. Now, how the hell is my son going to help you sort through all the shit in that girl's life?
I just thought Harley might.
I want you two out of my house, now.
He stood, tightening the sash on his robe.
I'm not kidding, I mean now. You come in here asking me and my family a bunch of questions with no particular authority,